Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
News today that the Justice Department will investigate whether the Baltimore Police Department engaged in a pattern of discrimination and excessive force following those protests and riots in Baltimore over the death of Freddie Gray, who died while in police custody. Here's Attorney General Loretta Lynch speaking today.
None of us have any illusions that reform is easy. The challenges that we face and that Baltimore faces now did not arise in a day, and change will not come overnight. It will take time and sustained effort.
And we'll continue to follow that story. But right now, we want to look at three cases of questionable police interactions with black men that aren't attracting national headlines, at least not yet. Starting in Nashville with Jordan Bowie, crime reporter for The Tennessean. And Jordan, I want to play a clip from a video that caught the attention of people in Nashville. This is Officer Brian Birch as he walked with a shotgun in his hands toward the stopped car of Walter Fisher on Sunday. Jordan, tell us what's going on there in that video.
There was an incident that had developed earlier in the afternoon where Walter Fisher was actually the victim of a crime, as police have said. They said he was burglarized, his car was burglarized, and he actually has a handgun carry permit. Mr. Fisher had taken his gun. Apparently, he had a gun in hand and confronted one of the burglars, and in the process was getting a shotgun out of his vehicle. Someone else at the nearby restaurant saw him, called police, and reported that Walter Fisher, or the individual involved, was pointing an AK-47 at local residents, and the individual who called in was also following Walter Fisher and asking them urgently to get there.
But now a police officer there in Nashville has been decommissioned after this video came out. Why? What did they say that the police did wrong in this incident?
The police said that they believe that the language used by Officer Birch, the profanity as well as the threat of violence, was inappropriate. But the actual actions of police as far as arming themselves, approaching the car with a shotgun and making the demands, that was all typical. The president of the Nashville Fraternal Order of Police actually said, take out the audio in that video and you have textbook felony traffic stop, which they thought it was.
And yet the community reaction has not been that of something that would be typical behavior, right? People are quite upset about this.
Well, one interesting thing that developed, you know, similarly as it did in South Carolina, is that when the video went up, there was no context. They knew no reason why Mr. Fisher was stopped. So all they saw was police approaching with weapons, making demands, and then using profanity along with, you know, a threat of violence. And so I believe, especially until the context was released, this was something that a lot of people were commenting and connecting this with other events across the country.
Well, let's turn now to another story. This is out of Miami Gardens, Florida. Nadej Green joins us from WLRN. And Nadej, here we're talking about the case of somebody named Laval Hall, a 25-year-old black man who was shot and killed by police back in February. And a police dash cam video came out in April on this. But first, just tell us what happened.
Police responded to Laval Hall's home. His mom actually called the police. There wasn't a crime or anything being committed here. Laval Hall was mentally ill. And in the state of Florida, under the Baker Act, you can call the police and they will have your loved one involuntarily committed if they're having a mental episode, which his mother believed he was having. And so when she called police, she expected them, as they have done in the past successfully, to just get him into the car and take him into a mental health hospital. He had been standing outside of his house holding a broomstick. She said he seemed agitated. When police responded to the scene, he didn't respond to their commands, according to police officers. He walked away from them. He had a broom. At some point, police say he hit them or attacked them with the broom. There is a video that came out after the shooting, but you don't see the attack on the dash cam. So there are parts of the interaction that were not caught on video. After apparently he attacked police, they then say at some point, there was some sort of confrontation, and Officer Edo Tremino shot 5 times and killed Laval Hall.
Well, we have a little bit of that dash cam video. Let's listen.
You the on your desk!
Nadege, how did this resonate with the community when the video was released?
People were incredibly upset even before the video was released. After it was released, the NAACP, a local Dream Defenders, an activist group here, you know, they felt that the video shows that Laval Hall wasn't a threat to police, at least not a threat in the sense that he should have been killed, that they needed to use fatal force. However, there are a lot of questions that are not answered in this video. You can see the officer, Ed Otramino, firing his gun 5 times, but you don't see Laval Hall in the screen. You don't see the immediate moments leading up to the shooting as to what transpired. But his family and local activists are saying, you know, this is someone who is mentally ill, that he wouldn't respond to commands in the same way that someone who isn't mentally ill would respond to police. And they felt that there was a lack of training, a lack of compassion on the police officer's part. And although the lawyers of Laval Hall's family have tried to downplay the race aspect of this, in interviews with the family, they did say that they felt there was a racial component to this. A week before, two African-American police officers had responded to their house for the same reason. He was having an episode and they wanted him to be committed to a hospital. And, you know, his mom described her interaction with those officers as very pleasant, that the officers were compassionate, that they were sensitive. They took their time in getting her son into the car because he wasn't responding to them either.
What has happened to the involved officers?
Well, the investigation is ongoing right now in the city of Miami Gardens. The police department will investigate this and then hand over their findings to the state attorney's office, which ultimately makes the final decision on whether or not the officers will be prosecuted. So the investigation is ongoing.
All right. Let's go to one more of these cases. This is in Colorado Springs. And Cassandra Kluse is with us. She's a public safety reporter with the Colorado Springs Gazette. Cassandra, in your case, we're talking about a moment from a video filmed by Ryan Brown as he and his brother Benjamin were pulled over and placed in handcuffs by local police. Let's listen.
You're not under arrest.
I'm asking for the reason why we're being pulled over. You still failed to identify why you have pulled this over.
I'm not pulling you. You're not driving. Come on up.
Why are you pulling me out of my car? Sir, take your hands off of me.
I have not did nothing.
Cassandra, tell us what's going on in this video.
So Benjamin Brown was driving his brother's car, Ryan Brown. Ryan is in the passenger seat, and they were pulled over not too far from their house. And when they were pulled over, officers asked Benjamin Brown to get out of the car. Ryan is telling his brother that he doesn't have to do this. He's questioning the officers as to why they're pulling them over, why they're asking his brother to get out of the car. So after Benjamin gets out of the car, you can see that Ryan starts the video, and you can see that Benjamin is handcuffed. And the police officers continue to ignore Ryan's questions as to why they've been pulled over. I still don't have an answer as to exactly why. The police report says that earlier in the day, the officer saw the car driving slowly through a high crime area. He tried to pull them over. He turned around to try to stop them and wasn't able to catch up to them. It doesn't say in the report whether his lights were on. So when he saw them later in the day, he pulled them over, and he and another officer pulled Ryan Brown out of the car. You can see that in the video. And then he's pushed to the ground and the video stops.
And this case has actually been picked up by the ACLU. What are they saying? What are people saying about what went wrong here?
Well, what the ACLU is saying is that this is a classic example of driving while black. Benjamin Brown was ticketed for compulsory insurance and obstruction of view, which his brother says is for a cracked windshield. And Ryan Brown was ticketed for resisting an officer. So they weren't actually ticketed for anything that they were clearly pulled over for in the first place.
All right. I want to hear a little bit of reaction from all of you about these three stories that we've heard, very different stories, obviously. Do you think that these three videos would have gotten the attention that they're getting if it hadn't been for Baltimore, for Ferguson, for Staten Island, for all these other cases around the country that have gotten so much attention? Nadege?
I think so. Especially in the case of Laval Hall in Miami Gardens, I think it at least locally would have gotten attention just by nature of what happened. This shooting, the NAACP has gotten involved. The Dream Defenders, a local activist group, has gotten involved. So I think locally, regardless of what was happening in Baltimore and nationwide, I think this shooting would have gotten attention even without that.
Jordan?
I think that, you know, in some instances, you know, where this has happened in other cities across the country and acts of violence have been captured on video, that, yes, that would have motivated people to be more wary. But at the same time, I almost don't even feel like if, for example, the incident in South Carolina recently with Walter Scott, I don't feel that the individual who shot the video in Nashville, I don't even know if she would have been compelled to shoot the video, given what she's told us, if those other incidents had not already happened.
And what about you, Cassandra?
I think that's a good point. I think people are starting to take videos more frequently because of everything that's happening everywhere else in the country. Here in Colorado Springs with Ryan and Benjamin Brown, no one was injured and no one was killed. So I really think it's hard to say whether this video would have even really surfaced in the way that it did if there wasn't national attention already on other cases around the country.
Cassandra Kloos with the Colorado Springs Gazette. We've also been speaking with Nadege Green with WLRN in Miami and Jordan Bowie with the Tennessean in Nashville. Guys, thanks to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.